I'm Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 45 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are very well. This podcast, as you know, is about leadership. And we tend to think that leadership starts and ends with work. That the stuff that we read about leadership, the courses that we go on, are related to the stuff that we do 9 to 5, or more likely 7:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. And that we can just set it aside then when we go home and go back to being our normal selves. Well, I haven't been a life coach for many years. I trained as a life coach. That's what the training was called back in the late 1990s. I trained as a life coach, and for the first 18 months, 2 years of my own business, I was working with people privately on the goals, the dreams, the ambitions, the personal growth they wanted in and outside of work. And I did go off it, I must say, when all my clients started being mid-30s women looking for a boyfriend. For some reason, I was attracting mid-30s women looking for a boyfriend, and this became my life to coach them. And I thought, well, this isn't really what I had in mind. By the way, I have no idea why I was coaching mid-30s women looking for a boyfriend. It cannot have had anything to do with the fact that I was a mid-30s woman looking for a boyfriend. Anyway, it's become increasingly hard all these years later, 17 years later, to differentiate between the work self and the home self, or at least it should be. The days of putting on the suit of armour to go to work, being your most glossy self, the cardboard cutout version of the perfect employer, employee, leader, all of that is kind of over. As you embark on the journey to find the true leader within you, what you may realise is that you have to make changes outside of your work as well as changes inside of your work, and changes to yourself outside of work as well as inside of work. And as you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, I have here in my own life. All of these have been triggered by changes that I've been making in my work. So it started with work. It started with realizations about the way that I work, the way that I want to work with clients, my growing clarity about what I see is happening in the business world and the working world in general. And those things have infected how I want to live my life outside of work. So, for instance, moving out of the family home that we owned, in fact, we still own, to release myself from a mortgage. So we will sell that house next year. We'll also sell the house that I'm living in now, which is a family house. And by spring, I hope to have no home at all. I am homeschooling because it fits better with our family and our desire to travel and have adventures, and my philosophies about what sort of world my daughter is going to be an adult in. We have plans to travel more, to make the most of all this technology that is around us that enables us to become digital nomads or location independent. That's something I heard about quite recently, without compromising the quality of my service to clients. So in the past, dropping everything to travel the world would have meant dropping out. Now it can mean simply locating yourself anywhere in order to do your work. And this is something that I think is happening in the workplace and that I want to make the most of as a private person with her own business. And of course, eventually we want our small holding and a place to invite people. I've just been trying to find a venue for a client where we can hold a team meeting, a team away day. And it's really hard to find places that aren't your typical hotels with boring conference rooms. Even the beautiful places that I found out in the countryside tend to have kind of boring conference rooms. And I am struck with the thought that, you know, is that how people work best? And I kind of end up thinking no, which is one of the reasons that I would love to create a place that meets that need. But where can you start? I've talked a lot about where you start in the workplace. But if you want to reveal more of the punk, more of yourself, to blend the work you with the home you, what do you do first? Well, I've got a few suggestions for you here today, and some of them are going to surprise you. I really have no business, in a way, talking about some of this stuff because I haven't been a life coach for a very long time. I don't pretend to advise people about how to live their lives. In fact, I don't advise people at all. But there are some things when I was thinking about this. How do you release the punk within yourself outside of the workplace? There were some things that came to me that I thought were important to share because they also must translate into the workplace as well. And the first is clothes and hair. Now, I'm not a stylist, clearly. And in an upcoming show, I am going to be speaking to someone who is, so we'll get the real inside skinny from her. But when I look around, I see most people making very conservative choices about their clothes and their hair. It is all about fitting in. You may be a maverick in your outlook, in your work style, in your opinions, in the way that you speak, but in your clothes, you may still be trying to fit in. And the clothes matter because it is so obvious when you break the rules. If you're opinionated, you can choose to pipe down for half an hour. But if you've woken up in the morning and expressed yourself through your clothes or your hair, it's very difficult to turn it down during the day. You're kind of stuck with it. But when I walk into a room and see 15 men in identical suits with blue checked shirts, maybe somebody's wearing a pink shirt, I do wonder whether it's just one man who's been cloned 14 times. There is a bit more variety with women, but I still know that many working women are strapped into their clothes, their heels and their hairdos. And they're doing that because they think they need to wear certain clothes and dress a certain way and wear their hair a certain way. Not because it expresses who they are, but because they think that's what is going to make other people take them seriously. I will come back to this, as I said, in a future episode, but it's a very good place to start, because it really throws up a whole set of beliefs and this desire to blend in that isn't really befitting a punk. Second place to start is with your language. Watch that corporate bullshit. Now, it is nice to be an insider, to know all the language and the acronyms and all the sort of technical jargon that goes on. And it makes us feel like we're in the in crowd. But a lot of it doesn't actually mean anything. I've been told by a friend of mine, a good friend and a colleague, that if I'm not one of the four tops, I'm not allowed to say that I'm going to reach out. Try to be real in your language. Try to be accurate. A lot of this language that gets bandied around is inaccurate. It's just lazy. Try not to use cliches. It's too easy to throw this corporate language around or to throw these kind of meaningless statements around like, well, it is what it is, or, well, we all know what happens when you do X, Y, Z, or you'll never get that past you know who. These sweeping statements are examples of lazy thinking. Don't do it. The third place to start is having a think about how you plan your day. Now, I recently had to rethink this because, of course, I need more time during the day available for the homeschool stuff that we're doing. But I still need to do a proper working schedule. I can't just, work for 2 hours a day. I actually have stuff to do and I have meetings to go to and things. But I have to have more time available during the day. I can't skip lunch because I've maybe promised to have it with my daughter. I can't just disappear for 8 hours into my office because I've said that we're going to do a science experiment at 3. So I'm getting up earlier and starting work when it's quiet. I'm actually recording this before my daughter's awake. I'm doing my thinking and my planning early in the morning before anyone's really awake in the house. I'm making less differentiation between the week and the weekend. So sometimes I'll do some work at the weekend and have a bit more flexibility during the week. There's basically more flow from one thing to another rather than a kind of adrenaline-fueled race through my to-do list. Now, you would expect this of me. I am intentionally outside of corporate life and you need me to be a maverick. Otherwise, what do I have to offer you? So you might not be surprised that someone who's a coach or someone that does slightly alternative work would live in a slightly alternative way. But I could say the same about you as a leader. As a leader, it's important that you question working hours, that you question whether your value comes from being busy or even being present, that you question back-to-back agendas, that you question working from the office. Do you need much, much, much more time together in your team, but doing less? What's really going to make a difference versus what do people think makes you look busy and important? Inevitably, if you make these changes to how you plan your day, it will affect your life outside of work. And that's kind of the point of what I'm talking about in this show. In fact, you can start with making the changes to how your day is outside of work and then allow that to affect how you work. Look at the rules and question every single one. And my fourth point, and this is a sort of more worky point, but it's going to inevitably affect your life as a whole, is to ask the question, what's your job? Get really clear about this. If you want to release more of the punk within you and live a more punk lifestyle, and I mean that in the broadest sense of the word, then getting really clear about what your job is going to be very important. There are multiple jobs that you're doing. You're keeping people happy. You're keeping people informed. You're playing the game. You're positioning yourself for some future role. You're competing for attention. You're planning your next career move. The most radical thing you can do is to work out what your job is just in terms of your customer or client. And that could be internal customer or client or external customer or client. What does your client actually need from you? Do they need anything? And if you had no needs from them and were purely there to serve them, need-free, so all that matters was what do they need from you, what would your job be? I always ask myself these kind of questions on the way to a meeting. What does the person I'm meeting need of me? What am I curious about the answer to, which can help me to help them? How do I need to be in this meeting to really be able to help? And very often, how I need to be is very quiet to just listen. The answers will come. I take all my needs out of it. In the drive there or the walk there or on the journey there, whatever mode of transport I'm taking, I get myself almost into a meditative state or a trance where I'm able to ask myself these questions. And this is the big one. This getting really clear about your job is really the biggie, but it's made possible by doing the other three things, by thinking about how I dress, how I have my hair, how I reveal who I am, release more of who I am through those choices, the choice of language that I use and how I plan my time. And that enables me to really be able to get into this state or this trance around having no needs. And I won't say I'm in this state 24 hours a day. This is a state that I get myself into before meetings, before speeches, before events that I'm involved with. So I'm not perfect. It takes conscious effort, but it is made possible because I've done the other three things as well. I've made conscious effort in the other three areas. When you choose your clothes, it's often about positioning. It's often about playing the game. You're not thinking, what do I wear today so I can be completely authentic, completely present? And I'm not suggesting you always wear jeans and a t-shirt or sweatpants. That might not be in the service of the customer to do that. But when you remove your desire to influence the other person's impression of you from the equation, it's good practice for the final piece, which is getting clear on what you have to offer, what's your special skill, or what's the ability that you have that has value for the other person. When you're fully present for people, your language changes. You're able to strip back the inhuman corporate bullshit and become who you really are. And when you rethink your time, you're able to have breathing space to prepare for human encounters, to give those human encounters the mental preparation that they deserve so that you can actually serve. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Releasing the punk inside is a process that takes place over time. I had no idea when I started to call my speech Punks in Suits that I would end up living as I do now and making plans to punkify even more of that life. I couldn't predict it. You can only go one layer at a time. But I'd love to know where you're dipping your toe in the water and what risks you're taking to reveal more of who you are and become a true leader as a result. With information about how to stay in touch with me and the team here at That People Thing, here is the lovely Ivy Palmer.
We'd love to hear from you. You can stay in touch with us on Twitter at Blair Palmer, on our Punks and Suits Facebook page by email, blair@thatpeoplething.com, and our newly renamed Instagram account, which is now called A Brilliant Gamble. And if you go to the website www.thatpeoplething.com, you can sign up for our newsletter. You'll get articles, tips and provocative questions straight to your inbox. And a free exclusive 5-part series written by Mummy covering the main themes of Punks and Suits concept and revealing her dirty little secret. Ooh. Hug!